Well, hello. We are back. It's time for another episode. This week has been wild and crazy. But here lies peace, serenity, and also several minutes of me ranting sort of halfway through the episode as usual. Someone asked me why I don't date men my age. They asked me, and I was cast back through time, landing on a train or a bus, listening to men my age when they think they can't be heard, boasting about body counts, swapping stories like Pokemon cards about women who trusted them to keep it to themselves. I hear men my age when they think they can't be heard because my earphones are my guard dogs and we have mastered the art of looking unfriendly. I hear men my age confidently crowing about their sexual prowess, trying to impress and outdo each other, not seeming to realise that the only cunt they'll be seeing tonight is themselves when they look in the mirror. And I'm so bored listening to them babble on, being so overwhelmingly underwhelming in every single way. But it's like a car crash and I'm glued to the trash TV that is men my age. I hear them, men my age, when they think that they can't be heard, and I think, wow, bro, I mean, men of all ages can be monsters, but at least the older ones have the experience to try and keep the mask on for a minute. So, I kind of thought of that while I was on the train earlier this week. I was just sitting there, I was playing Mario Kart, because, of course, Mario Kart Tour has been released. I've been having a wonderful time. And so I was just playing that on my phone. I had my earphones in. I was minding my business. I wasn't trying to cause any trouble. You know me. And then these dudes get on the train, which, I mean, fine. And they were talking to each other about all these different women. But they were talking so loud that I could hear them, even though I had earphones in at pretty much full volume, and I could still hear them. So, you know, when I took my earphones out, they were like even fucking louder. And I'm like, really? Really, honey? Like, wow. I'd hate to be those women. I'd hate to know that somebody that I trusted, that I thought I shared an intimate, personal experience with, is telling not only his dude bro friends, but half of this fucking train. You know? Like, that's not cool. And I mean, it isn't just these, you know, four specific dudes, because I have seen this exact same scenario like a billion times when I've been like just out and you hear dudes doing this and I'm like, we're supposed to consider relationships with you people? You can't keep nothing to yourself. You talk about women in the most disrespectful and disgusting ways in public very loudly. And we're supposed to consider relationships with you? I mean, couldn't be me. I mean, maybe, you know, like I said, maybe men of all ages do that. But I don't really see it happen as often with people who are more grown up and appear to have more maturity and emotional intelligence. So, you know, you'll excuse me if I take my business elsewhere. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see the point in pursuing a relationship with someone who doesn't know how to value what they have and is sitting there bragging with their friends or being derogatory, like, what's the point? What kind of a relationship are you going to have with this person? You know, because they might be nice and sweet to your face, but when they think that you're not around, or they think that you can't hear them, what they get up to could surprise and disgust you. And I just, I don't have the time. I don't have the time for it. I'm going to just keep playing Mario Kart, minding my business and taking my business to people who know how to not be that way. Or like, they can, at the very least, control the volume of their speaking voice. It was really embarrassing. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you saying, do you know what I mean? Like, not to be like a repressed Catholic about it, but it was really embarrassing. I was like, oh my God, you're talking about it right now on a train? Just because it's after 9 p.m, that doesn't mean like TV watershed rules like become effective across public and, you know, suddenly all this can, like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Please be quiet. Oh my God. But I couldn't say anything because I don't want to engage these people into conversation because, you know, I don't trust any of them. But yeah, so I kind of thought about it and I wrote that and it was fun. We come to you live from the council estate that looks great on my Instagram, captured with two lines I call mine, that I rearranged after seeing them last week, spoken by a girl who flees war to be here. I'm sure she won't mind. Do you mind that I'm borrowing the times that are not mine? They call it cultural appropriation, which I think is kind of racism because, I mean, what, white people can't join in because we're white? Racist. Anyway, I'm sure that it's fine to mind the minds and miserable lives that surround me while mine is sublime, if not empty. I'm trying to find myself, but I found everybody else and I'm keeping them all in my, oh God, you're gonna love this. I just learned this the other day. It is such a cute little phrase. I'm keeping them all in my ends. Do you love it? Oh my God. You see, I grew up on an estate too. I'm exactly like you. I smile outward from the mirror, though mine is always bigger. I'm telling our stories with the accent of a Oh God, yes, no, you're right. You're right. We're not allowed to say that word anymore. I mean, you're allowed to say it for some reason. And rappers are allowed to say it, but I'm not allowed to say it because I'm white? Again, reverse racism strikes again. Anyway, I got lost in it all, I suppose. Listened to one rap mixtape, got a little caught up, but you know what? I can take off my ebony coat and go back to Canterbury and forget all about you. This is just like you. You always do this. You're so ungrateful. This is what you always do when I try and speak for you. I mean, when I speak up for you. I mean, when I speak up for you. Don't twist it, okay? Don't play the victim. You always play the victim. Honestly, what next? You're gonna play the race card on me? Jesus. I don't know who you think you're talking to. Where's this attitude come from? All I'm trying to do is speak up for you. You know, maybe I should, to use the vernacular, be real with you. Nobody's going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. That's right. Nobody is going to listen to you. They don't care. I am your only path to their ears because no one's going to listen to you. All your fears have come true and you're back on the boat and I command the crew because they only want your voice when it doesn't come from you. Yes, they only want your voice when it comes from my face. And I will replace you. I will wear your vocal cords and all of the darkest of your days. I will talk like I understand, and you will stand and be grateful that I gave you a seat at my table. Though you are the meal, and I'm not able to handle all the seasoning your life gave you because, you know, spices. So be grateful that I'm still talking, and don't interrupt me when I'm talking with your voice. As some of you may know, National Poetry Day was on Thursday. As you may have seen on my website, I did post some new stuff. I posted a new visual poem, and also I gave all my books away for free because I am finally the socialist that my grandfather always hoped I would be. I wrote a new poem, which I've just read, called Life Through a Lens, which I didn't realise at the time because I just wrote it because I was pissed off about something, but it kind of fit with a theme. Apparently, the theme of National Poetry Day this year was truth. I didn't even know there was a theme because I'm self-absorbed and I don't check these things. I was just sort of like, how can I make this about me? So I didn't realise there was a theme, but there was a theme. And I accidentally, I suppose, wrote something that fit the theme, kind of. It's a truth, but it's a truth that I think some people don't want to hear. But as I described myself earlier this week, I am petty, mean and ethnic, and I will tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. So I was kind of thinking about, maybe it's not in the spirit of things, but I was thinking about things about, not, you know, poetry, but also not just poetry, just sort of creative writing and the creative arts in general that pissed me off and that I didn't like. I talked briefly about, I'm talking about things I've talked about and you probably don't know what I mean. Basically, I was talking on my sort of personal Twitter, I guess. It's basically where I go and I rant about things, and also I sort of live tweet whatever's going on in British politics, but most people don't care about that, so I just sort of keep it in one account away and, you know, do my thing over there and I sort of do everything related to my work on a different one. But anyway, so I was talking about how it bothered me how in poetry, but also in other, you know, artistic areas, but a lot in poetry, sort of people who are bad people, you know, abusers, you know, and things like that, are still given a platform even though they're bad people. People will still work with them, people will still celebrate them, and yet these same people that will celebrate those people will also be the first to cancel bad people from other industries. You know, they'll be the same people that will have, you know, been hashtag tweeting, you know, mute R. Kelly and tweeting about Harvey Weinstein being a terrible person, and yet at the same time they're still sharing platforms with people that are known to be exactly the same as these people. And so I was kind of pissed about that, so I talked about that for a bit. But then I talked about, I guess, like, cultural appropriation. And I know that some people immediately switch off when they hear that as a term. And they're like, oh, so we're not supposed to share cultures now? Oh, so white people can't do stuff? That is pretty much the crux of what they're saying. It's basically, oh, what? White people are excluded? How dare you? But, like, indulge me for a moment, right? I think there is kind of an insidious nature to how that manifests and how it appears in, you know, kind of artistic formats, right? So, for example, stuff like people who have never experienced certain types of oppression, using those stories to get themselves praise and credit is kind of fucked up. Now, I know what you're thinking, oh, but isn't creative writing about being creative and using your imagination? Yeah, Yeah, it is. And that's fine. But if you stand there and you talk about it like it's your own story, and you never point out, you know, this is where I got my inspiration from. This is, you know, these are the people who've experienced this, and these are the people I wanted to give a voice to. If you just sit there and you act like it's your own life when it isn't, and you've never experienced that, then it is quite fucked up. You know, it's like, because it's like you're essentially just using their stories to create something that's kind of edgy and controversial and whatever, but you're not giving back to the people that you essentially owe the credit for that work to. Do you get what I mean? Like, for example, if somebody had, I don't know, written a song or a poem or something about, like, I don't know, like being abused or something, right? And when people ask them, is that personal to you? They just let them think it was, rather than being honest and saying, actually, that's not my story. You know, I was giving a voice to this person or that person or these, you know, these people or whatever. Then it's dishonest. And it's essentially taking somebody else's life and using it for your own means, right? To give you an example of what I mean, I spoke to, because I performed that poem on Friday at She Growls in London, and I spoke to some people after, and I spoke to this lady. She was lovely. She was a teacher, and she told me about, God, do you know, I'm still thinking about this now, because it's just like one of the worst things I've ever heard. She said, obviously this month is Black History Month, right? She said that a white teacher insisted on doing an assembly about it. And it was really like ill-informed and quite bad, because obviously those aren't his stories. Those aren't the stories of his ancestors and his heritage. And there were plenty of people who knew about it and had experiences that they could have shared, and, you know, experiences that have been passed down through their family, and, you know, that trauma that gets passed down, who could have spoken about it and could have given an informative and not offensive assembly. But he insisted on doing it, and it ended up being shit and really gross. and I mean, I think that to me sums up exactly what I'm talking about. When people speak over the people who've actually experienced these things, because they think that they can say what other people are going to say better than they can say it. You know what I mean? It's like, fuck off, mate. Really? Just fuck off. But I find that happens a lot in creative work, specifically in terms of racial things. There are a lot of people who will essentially speak over you know, minority creators and essentially try and tell their stories as if they were their own, and try and involve themselves in those stories. And it's like, you have obviously had different experiences, and that's not your fault. But you don't understand what you're talking about. Please be quiet for like 2 seconds. Tell your own stories if you want to. I guess you could attempt to tell other people's stories if you, you know, credit who you're talking about, and don't do it in a way that takes away space for other people to tell their own stories. You know what I mean? And I think that that is a huge problem in the creative arts, but specifically in poetry, because I see it so often and I hate it. There's also this thing, which was sort of the thing that really sort of set this all off in my head. There's this thing where sometimes, and I don't know why they do it, because I don't know why they think it sounds good or why it's necessary or appropriate. But there are some white spoken word artists who literally try and do what I'm assuming they think is a black accent when they read poetry. Like Iggy Azalea used to do. You know, the rapper girl, and she would do what she thought was a black accent when she rapped. She, like, they do that, and I'm like, what are you doing? What is this? But then they come off stage after and they sound completely different, and I'm like, who are you trying to fool? Why are you doing that? Did you have like a momentary lapse up there? Like, what the fuck was that? What the actual... It's so cringe. And it happens all the time. And they'll be using all these words that I'm sure they don't really know the meaning of. And they'll be talking about, you know, the feds and the ends and life on a council estate and all that. And I'm like, fuck off. You're like... You lived in a stately home or something. Fuck off. You sound like Fiona Bruce. Fuck off. Stop it. It doesn't... I don't know why they do it. Is it the search for authenticity? Like, what? Do they think everyone's going to hate them if they sound like a Tory councillor? Like, just be yourself. Because here's the thing. I am sure that they have perspectives and stories that people would actually be interested in if they would just be themselves. If they stop trying to, you know... If they stop trying to sound black and imitate black stories, if they stop trying to, you know, like, you know how people like adopt different cultures and shit, like, stop it. Are you that Rachel girl? Stop it. It's embarrassing. It's cringy. Why are you like this? Right? And I don't know. I was thinking about it, and so I guess that's kind of a truth that maybe some people need to hear. Your story is probably interesting, so tell it. Tell your story. Don't nick someone else's to seem cultured or whatever the hell it is you're aiming for. I don't know. It's, you know, I just... Anyway, so as usual, I took a nice day and I got very angry, because that's what I do. But you know, I'm sure that you're used to that by now. Are you looking for a platform where you can have your voice heard? Find your home and find your voice on Rumble, the brand new video platform where you can share your thoughts, express your passions, and find like-minded people and creators. Download Rumble from the App Store or visit rumble.me to find out more. Okay, so before I start this next section, sorry, I'm walking around my kitchen. I wanted to say, I don't hate men really much. I've had to record this little preamble like 3 times. The first time was on me. I fucked up. That's fine, because like I screwed up what I was recording. But the second time, some dude knocked at my door. I just had to go and answer that. It was, I don't know, some dude He was trying to deliver something, but he got the numbers mixed up. I don't know. Anyways, my point is, I know I started this episode being a bit negative about men, and I'm about to be a bit more negative about men. And I know that maybe you may think that I've been a bit negative about men before, you know? And what I'm saying here is I don't need you to contact me and be all hashtag not all men, because firstly, I don't care. Secondly, I know, okay? I know that there are some men that are not anything like the kind of men I've spoken about. You know how I know? Because I've spoken about some of those men that are perfectly normal, wonderful people. On this very podcast, I have. You know what I mean? I know not all men. But to be fair, it is a lot. And I'm going to talk about it. And so I'd like us all to be very grown up. And if it doesn't apply to you and you feel that you are in the not all men part, or you're in the this doesn't apply to me section, great. Have a lovely time. Wonderful. But I don't need you to tell me, because it's not really going to impact either of our lives. So if you are not a twat, great. Keep it to yourself. And now onto the luxury hot take of the evening. I included that little preamble, firstly, because when I've spoken about these kinds of things before, I've gotten social media comments and emails and things like that, which basically amounted to not all men, and I just can't be arsed. And secondly, because what I'm talking about today is a Twitter account that you may have seen called Men Write Women, and I saw a really funny response to it the other day. It was this male writer who basically said that he thought the account was really mean and really unfair, and it was making men less confident about writing women. And I was like, really? Sis, really? Okay. I mean, you know, it's not like women who are writers have been, you know, constantly attacked throughout the history of time, you know? I mean, women used to have to use other names when they wrote books because people would refuse to buy books written by women. And you want to talk about unfair criticism? Girl. Okay. you know, so anyway, it's an account where they post examples of poorly written descriptions or characters that are women written by men. So I thought we could have a little look and talk about that. I've spoken about kind of the differences between how male and female writers are treated, and I think this account really sums it up. So this one, it's their pinned tweet, you can check it out. Their account is men_write_women. And honestly, I could read this account all day. It makes me so fucking confident. Anyway, so I'm going to share this first thing with you. Oh God. Jesus. So this is from Desperate Measures by Stuart Woods. Someone published this, apparently. Dino put his feet up and chatted for a couple of minutes. Then he put down the phone and returned to the table. Okay, he said. The ME confirms his first estimate of time and death. The girl had a tiny purse tucked into her vagina, just big enough to hold a driver's license, a credit card, and a few bucks. Her name is Elizabeth Sweeney. Really? Really? Firstly, that's not really how vaginas work. I mean, I know that a lot of our clothes don't have pockets, but we have bags and shit, and we have hands, and we can carry stuff. We're not all just like stashing things in our vaginas. Like, what? I can't with this. Oh my god. So it continues. This is from Deception Point by Dan Brown. Dan Brown, let's not forget, you know, is consistently being published despite such things as the woman's hair was light brown and fashioned in Washington's most popular style. The anchor woman, a lush feathering curled under at the shoulders. Long enough to be sexy, but short enough to remind you she was probably smarter than you. The bar is partying in hell with the devil. It's gone so low. Oh, God. Okay. So this is from The Diamond Age by Neal Stephenson. Describe yourself, Nell wrote. Nothing special, I'm afraid, wrote the Duke. How about yourself? Slightly taller than average, flashing green eyes, raven hair falling in luxuriant waves to my waist, unless I pin it up to emphasize my high cheekbones and full lips, narrow waist, pert breasts, long legs, alabaster skin that flushes vividly when I am passionate about something, which is frequently. Who the fuck talks like that? Nobody, bitch. Nobody. And here is the thing, right? This dude who was complaining about this account, he was like, that's knocking men's confidence. We shouldn't make fun of them. They're trying. And I'm like, well, they're not trying very hard. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to lower the standards for men just because they have attempted to write about women? I mean, if they can't handle writing about women as if they're real people, then I don't feel we should applaud that. If something's shit, it gets told it's shit. I mean, okay, I found the tweet because the guy deleted the tweet, but I found a screenshot. This is what he said. Speaking as a man writing two female main characters. Speaking. I can't. This men writing women stuff just knocks the confidence of men who actually want to write female characters. Many women complain about the lack of female characters by male authors, then publicly shame those who try. Hashtag writing community. What a fucking pussy. Like, what do you want? A pat on the head because you acknowledge that women are people that exist in stories? Like, if you don't fucking try, why are we supposed to applaud you? I just... Bitch, what the fuck? Okay. So this is from The Messenger. Her legs are shaved, making me think I should have known earlier that it was a girl. Right, okay. They're long and lovely. She's one of those girls who are pretty much straight down, skinny with a small but well-formed chest, long back. What the fuck does that mean? straight hips and tall legs. Her bare feet are medium-sized and they hit the ground lightly. She's beautiful. She's beautiful and I'm ashamed. She's 15 if she... Oh, just say you're a nonce and go. She's 15 if she's a day and I'm being stepped on. I'm being crushed from the inside. Probably best, you fucking nonce. Feelings of love and lust fight each other inside me. And I realise I'm drawn instantly to this girl who runs barefoot at 5:30 in the morning. I can't escape it. Well, let's hope you can't escape the prison cell you eventually end up in. Fucking weirdos. Oh my god. Okay, so this is from Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Probably not. By Philip K. Dick. Maybe they did just what we're doing, Roy said. Confided in, trusted, one given human being who they believed was different. As you said, special. We don't know that. Guard said, I think this is sci-fi because the names are unusual. That's only a conjecture. I think they, she gestured, walked around, sang from a stage like Luba. We trust. I'll tell you what we trust. That fouls us up, Roy. It's our goddamn superior intelligence. God, this is just dreadful. She glared at her husband, her small high breasts rising and falling rapidly. We're so smart, Roy. You're doing it right now, goddamn you. You're doing it now. I'll tell you what he's doing right now. Terrible fucking writing. The captions on this account really make it. The one I'm about to read, the caption is literally, if you think platypuses are sexy, just try going to the zoo. This is from The Terror by Dan Simmons. Oh, said Crozier. I don't know if I said that right. Clinging to the root as tightly as he had ever clung to any ship's lane while 200 feet up in the rigging during a hurricane. Okay. Platypuses lay eggs, you know, continued Sophia, like reptiles, but the mothers secrete milk like mammals. True. Through the water, he could see the dark circles in the centres of the white globes of her breast. Bitch, what the fuck? Why is it always globes? Why do men say... Listen, right? They don't even really look like that. I don't know, if you don't understand how women's anatomy works, either Google it, like read a book, or just find other ways to talk about women. I don't understand. But I mean, I think accounts like this have their place. I know some people would think it's public shaming or damaging the confidence of male writers, but I think... what it draws a lot of attention to is that there are quite a lot of men who receive acclaim and praise and perhaps shouldn't. Because you shouldn't get just like a pat on the head because you tried and didn't do a really good job. Like... And you know, like I said in the preamble, there are men that this doesn't apply to. There are men that are fantastic writers who write female characters in a way that is true, that is realistic, and they write female characters that feel like real people rather than sex dolls who've been given dialogue. And that's wonderful. And those are the people who should be celebrated. Those are the people who should get acclaim and praise and huge publishing deals. Not people who can't go 5 seconds without incorrectly describing boobs. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just saying. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with this account. And I think it's quite delightful, honestly. So, oh God, it gets worse and worse. So, here's another one from Dan Brown. It's captioned, "Because physicists can't be hot." It's from Angels and Demons. Descending from the chopper in her khaki shorts and white sleeveless top, Vittoria Vetra looked nothing like the bookish physicist he had expected. I mean, oh God. Oh, wow. Her clothes clung, accentuating her slender torso and small breasts. I actually can't. It reminds me of something that I was shown a while ago. This guy wrote this story and he was talking about a woman and he literally described her boobs by the bra size. And I was like, have you not seen them? Have you not seen boobs? Because your bra size doesn't actually really mean anything in the grand scheme of things in terms of what they actually look like. And why do you need to describe those things anyway? Like, unless they're important to the story, nobody really needs to know. It's not necessary. I don't understand. Oh, here we go. So this is from something by MJ Arledge. Angry at being made to submit, he tried to spin her around. Now that he was aroused, he suddenly wanted to dominate her, fuck her, bully her. Man, you're just telling on yourself. Her cleavage winked at him. Did your character take some drugs? Is your character on, like, some kind of hallucinogenic? Because cleavage does not wink, my man. It does not. I've seen plenty of it. I own some myself. Does not wink. It does not. Oh, wow. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And this is another one. I don't know who it's by because this is something they've retweeted and the person hasn't listed the author. But I feel, again, some male writers, they have these weird ideas about what women do in their lives. You know, it's like that thing where they all think that, you know, girls who went to, like, boarding schools or had sort of weird lesbian evenings together, or that every time girls have a sleepover, they all have sex, or, you know, things like that. And it's like, no, maybe in, like, porn or something, but no. But anyway, so this says, she looked around, stared at her palms, inspected the shape of her fingernails and grabbed her breast through her shirt to check the shape. No change, same size and shape. I'm still me. The world is still the same world, but something has started to change. Like, who does that? Who just randomly feels their boobs to make sure that the world is still the same? Nobody. Nobody does that, because your boobs are not really an indication of the state of the world, really. You know, when Karen said that her boobs could tell the weather in Mean Girls, it was a joke. It was a joke. Obviously the character wasn't joking, but it was put in the film as a joke. It wasn't a real thing. Nobody's boobs can tell the weather. Nobody's boobs can tell you what's going on. Like, Jesus. But like I said, I think, here's the thing. If there was not a lot of male writers who do a very poor job of writing women, this account would not exist because there would not be any content for it, right? So nobody is saying that all men are bad at writing women, and nobody is saying that men should not try and things like that. But what we're saying is, here are some terrible examples. Don't do this. You know, go to an actual writing class and find out how to do it. Maybe accept that women are just regular people and they're not these weird abstract things. You know, we don't carry things in our vaginas. Our boobs are not sentient beings. Like, you know what I mean? If you are writing something and you're describing your male character in a completely normal way, but you go through all this weird, mad shit when you're describing women, then maybe consider that in and of itself as the issue. Just, you know, treat your female characters the same way you treat your male characters and you'll probably be fine. Maybe the way your voice shakes isn't an impediment. It's relevant to remember that you only get caught up, abandoned by your own breath, when you think too much about the way you lost your last voice. You only get fucked up when you think of how you lost her, the way she clung to your coat as you began the long road away from yourself, closing your eyes as if it would silence her screams, as she begged and she pleaded, wondering why she wasn't good enough to stay in your body. Maybe the way your voice shakes is an indication that you're choking on the things you lack, the things you left behind, and the corpse of your last cause, your last voice that you lost, lays inside your throat, staring up at the way she was replaced, growing more vengeful every day. So I spoke, I think it was maybe last week, maybe the week before. You know, I don't remember things, you know how I am. But I was thinking about when I wrote in response to a message I received from somebody that I had known before. And they said that they were upset because in their opinion, I had changed and I had become different and things like that. And not to be dismissive, but you know. And so I kind of wanted to write something kind of from the other side of that. But I was also thinking about somebody. It's not someone I know so much as someone I'm aware of, as it were, who has done what this person's accusing me of. They have sort of drastically changed who they are to try and, you know, be different in the hopes that people will like that more. And I mean, it's not really working, but whatever. But yeah, so I wanted to kind of look at how it would feel to be kind of on the other side of that, you know. And, you know, does who you used to be feel abandoned? And what do you do about that? You know, kind of like a vengeful ghost that follows you. And can you ever really materialize as something else if who you were is always sort of a couple of steps behind you, waiting to jump out like a super spooky, scary bitch? Wow, the voice just got heavy. Not said like Marty, but like literally, you're on top of me. It's fine. This is fine. It's totally fine. I feel like the entire planet watched me walk in here with you, but now I'm as lonely as I've ever been. Your breath is constantly on my neck and your words are constantly in my mind. Dressed in red, speaking in a new voice, telling me it's time to leave. This is not fine. This is totally not fine. I did initially plan, by the way, to find something very nice and very lovely to read about men, but then I found that, and so I read that instead. It's not as nice, but what can I do? I will read something nice about men. Just give me a minute. Give me a minute. I'll find something. I'm sure I've got loads of things that are nice. But anyway, that is very old. I think that's from like 2016. But I wrote it about, I think I've spoken about this before on either this podcast or my other podcast, which I have to remind you, you can download it pretty much everywhere you get this. It's called Jennifer Dates and it's about dating things. But it's this guy, he was fucking weird. I feel like it's episode 2 of the other one. I don't know. Anyway, he made some big thing and he was like, I'm gonna kill myself, I need to talk to someone. And I got there and it was basically just like a trap, like a scam. He was just trying to get me to go over there to have sex with him. And I was like, no, bitch. Because I didn't want to, and I hadn't, you know, I know that, you know, some people would think it's weird for me to have been that age and still not done that, but like, I wasn't really interested in it. I'm still not really interested now, to be honest. I didn't, at the time, I still thought that, you know, the first time that you do it was a big thing. And so I didn't want to waste it on someone I didn't like and I didn't care about. And honestly, somebody who tricked me, because I mean, for me, that's sort of starting things off on a bad note anyway. But so I got myself out of there. I ran away. It's all very dramatic. I tell the full story over in the other podcast if you wanted to hear that. But I'm now going to find something nice and positive to close us out, I promise. Or at least I'll try. Tobey Maguire, you talk like James McAvoy. You knew who Deadpool was, so in my head I called you Marvel. To my friends I called you lovely, and to you I called you nothing, because the very thought of speaking with you gave me a rash on my vocal cords. It's a preventative measure. I won't tell you how I loved you. Deep down we both know I didn't. I liked your face though. I liked your voice though. And I like that you made me feel like my comic books had a place among your classics. There you go. That's about a man. And it was nice. So don't say that I can never do that. Because I have dimensions or whatever. Anyway, that was about like one of my lecturers at uni that I really liked. He was very sweet and very cute, very nice, and very older than me, obviously, to keep it on brand. And me and one of my friends, we just loved him. And I think about him a lot because he was one of those people, because there's a lot of elitism in writing. I think I've spoken about that loads before, but basically, there's this idea that if you don't just read classics and sort of, I guess, contemporary classics, like things that are done now that are all sort of agreed between everyone are really good. If you read anything outside of that, then you know, your opinion means nothing and you're worthless and whatever. And I remember one lecture, we were talking about postmodernism, and I was like, what about Deadpool? And I could literally, I could see like all these people, basically snobs, looking at me like, excuse me? What are you talking about? And there were some people who were like, yeah, yeah, she's right. And so it was like this balance of like some people who weren't snobs, who were willing to acknowledge that I had a point, and some people who refused to acknowledge it because it wasn't, you know, written like, you know, 500 years ago or whatever. And he agreed with me. And I was like, yes, you're a cool dude. Thank you. And it was just a really endearing moment, you know. Maybe that's my thing. I like people that agree with me. I don't know. I'm sure that's very healthy. But he was just a really nice guy, you know. Did I do anything about it? Of course not. Of course not, because I'm too afraid to do that. And you know what? I don't know his life. He's probably got a lovely family and whatever, but he was a nice guy and, you know, a very cute guy, but he, you know, like he made me feel like I wasn't stupid for liking other things, you know what I mean? And I've always appreciated that, and it stuck with me, obviously, because I'm still, you know, writing things several years later. But although, to be fair, I wrote that in like 2016. It's very old. But yeah, so like I said earlier, of course there are many wonderful men, and if you're a wonderful man, I salute you. Congratulations. Maybe teach some of the not so wonderful men, and then we'll have less problems. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain, as it were. You can find more of my work on my website, which is jennifer1.com. There's lots of free stuff on there, videos, audio stuff, stuff you can read, and also the links to all my paid content. So it's a wonderland of literary things. if you feel like giving me a review or rating the show on like whatever podcast app you use, that would be wonderful and very much appreciated. As Tesco says, every little helps. And if you feel like you want to support the show, and the other free stuff, free content that I have, things like the videos, the audio stuff, and all that kind of stuff, you can also do that through Patreon. You know, they say it Patreon on Romaniacs, and now I'm thinking, is that how I say it? I mean, they're all journalists and shit, so they probably know. Anyways, however you say it, I don't know, but you can. The link is in the description, and you can sign up from as little as $1, and you get lots of exclusive content, early content, free merchandise, access to my private behind the scenes Instagram. You get personalized stuff. It's very fun, so I'm told. Thank you to my supporters over on the website that I cannot pronounce apparently. Amanda, Kylie, Melissa, Anna, Sam, Katie, Christina, Josie, Gabriella, David, and Eleanor. You can also support the show and all the projects I do with one-off donations on PayPal and Ko-fi. The links for that are below as well. And everyone that donates through that gets access to my early release program, where you get to see things earlier than everybody else. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day or evening or just existence, really. Good night, my love.